Good morning. We are here in the Embassy Cathedral of University of Healing here on Campbell, in Campbell, California, on the campus of the University of Healing. One of our very beloved, very dear students, Monica Egli, Reverend Monica Egli, moved to her next dimension of life this beautiful Easter morning. And she took with her the life attitude that was so gorgeous and so beautiful that we'll be talking about today as Christ arises in us. And she left behind the shell that she didn't need anymore, which we all have a tendency to do. Monica Egli was a very special lady, filled with dynamism, filled with power, filled with joy, filled with magic, filled with everything good. She's a very devoted mother and a devoted wife and a very special student of the University of Healing. And as she moved on, I had the privilege of being with her for several weeks ago in preparation for this move. And now, on her graduation day, I would like to read the note that I sent to her. Happy graduation day. You have ascended into a new dimension of living this wonderful day. Beloved Monica, your treasured husband Carly, your beloved daughters Andrea and Martina, and your beloved dog Boleg, told me today you have moved on a new and higher dimension of life. They told me you have left behind your body, and like the Christ you are, you have risen in your glorified, spiritually fulfilled, and perfect body on this Easter morning. I love you and release you into this new life and this new experience. You bring to this new dimension all of the magic and delight for living that you shared with us here on this planet. The gift of yourself you have given to all of us at the University of Healing is a blessing indefinable and everlasting. The paths of the University of Healing are blessed with your having been here. You attended the School of the Master, and you made paths that were so beautiful here on campus. And you and Martina and Andrea improved on your paths, on your visits to your alma mater, and they stand as a joyous reminder of your indelible presence here. Beloved Monica, Moni, as your dear friends and family call you, the sparkle and thrill of your presence in our life continues as an ocean wave washing over us with your ideal self forevermore. I release you to your journey of love. I thank you for choosing to be in my world. I love you. All the students of the uni join me in giving you a fond farewell and blessing for a happy eternity. I love you. Love, Herb. It's quite a significant thing to move on to another dimension of life. Jesus, in his experience, moved on to another dimension of life too. He went through the cross experience just to prove that he really did leave his body behind. But he didn't leave it behind as we leave it behind. When it was put into the tomb, he had it glorified. He had it sanctified. He had it spiritually illumined and left behind all physical aspects of it. And the women who saw him walking along the road and didn't recognize him, the disciples at the upper room who met him and greeted him and didn't know him, he says, "I am Jesus." And they said, "Oh?" And doubting Thomas said, "Where are your instigmata? Where are the marks where they put the nails into your hands and your feet? Where is the hole in your side where they put the spear?" And he said, "Excuse me, boys, got to go back to the drawing board." And he went back to the drawing board, and he drew those things onto himself. And he came back, and they recognized him because of the marks They didn't recognize him because of the spiritually illumined man that he was. They didn't recognize him because of the spiritually illumined being he was. They only recognized the former physical form that he had. And there weren't too many around in those days who had holes in just the right places. And he did. Today we're going to have our seminar entitled Christ Arises in Us. And thank you, Monica, for your opening blessing to our seminar. We appreciate this joyful gift you've given to us. And if you ever choose to come around in your illumined body, we will instantly recognize you. Because if you say you are you, we will not doubt. Because we know from the experiences we've read about Jesus that the illumined body is not one that will give us too much recognition of the physical body that had gone before. Who and what do we call Christ? Christ is the spiritual consciousness present in me. Christ is the spiritual consciousness present in each of us. It is that spiritual consciousness that knows no bounds, that knows no limits. It's the spiritual consciousness that is our, what is it? Our original purity and integrity. The spiritual consciousness is our original purity and integrity. Our original purity and integrity. Who has ever seen it? Well, the ladies saw the Christ as he walked along the road. The disciples saw him. But you see, the disciples, as illumined as they should have been, and as sparkling as they should have been, having been trained with this great teacher, with this great one, they didn't even recognize a spiritually illumined soul in their presence. They did recognize that it was a being. You understand that? They recognized it was a being, but they didn't recognize what being it was. And you see, that really didn't matter what being it was, did it? It really didn't matter what being was being illumined. It only mattered that a being was illumined. Okay, now. When we have our spiritual illumination, as we say here, Christ is the spiritual consciousness present in all of us. When we have this awareness of the spiritual presence within us, we may not even recognize it. However, if we are expressing the spiritual consciousness in us, we can be sure that it will be untouched by the human world. It will be non-judgmental. It will be so beautiful and so wonderful that we really will not understand it. It will be the ultimate of unconditional love. Pretty nice, huh? Pretty nice, because this is what it's all about. This is what our human self has done to us. It has put such a curtain, such a covering over our divinity that we have not learned to recognize our divinity. Think about it. Christ is the spiritual consciousness present in me. You all see me, and you all know me, and you all have been around me as I've been living my life before you here, and you have been thinking, well, now, isn't that interesting? He's an interesting man. And I look at each of you. And as I look at each of you, I say, my, you are interesting. You are a very interesting person. You are a very special and a very wonderful person. My, my, my. Because I can see right through you to your Christ self. I can see right through you to your divine self. It's there. It's there, and it's there beautifully and wonderfully, and it's there, and it's doing everything fantastic in your world. Your Christ self is like a beautiful light shining inside of you, a beautiful light that you haven't opened your eyes to see. It's too bright. Oh, it's too brilliant. We've got to close down the light. It's just too much, you know. And when we do that, what are we saying? We're not seeing it. As we spoke here of Monica, and we said of her, the sparkle and thrill of your presence in our life continues as an ocean wave washing over us with your ideal self forevermore. An ocean wave washing over us with your ideal self forevermore. Do you recognize, or do you want to even know about it, this ocean wave washing over you forevermore? Do you want to know about it? Think about that. Do you really want to know about it, or are you rather comfortable not knowing about it? You see, when you know your Christ self, you cannot feel sorry for yourself, you know? When you know your Christ self, when your spiritually illumined self is revealed, you cannot pick on another person, because you see, what you do and what I do, what we do, we see right through any outer appearances, right through to the inner reality, to the inner wholeness, to the inner divinity. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that really exciting to realize that we are not limited by the outer? We are not limited by what we see. We are not limited by what we hear. We are not limited by what we feel. We are not limited by anything at all, only how much attention we really want to pay to listen to that divine within. And unfortunately, we don't want to pay enough attention to listening to the divine within. Christ is the energy or life force which permeates me. Christ is the energy or the life force which permeates me. We say, the life has gone out of the body. Okay? So the body is going back into its nothingness, into its original purity and integrity. Well, how about that? But the life force, the essence, which is who we are, the allness, which is who we are, the oneness, which is who we are. You see, this is why when we talk about God, we do not talk about God as a him or her. We do not talk about God even as an it. God is incapable of being an it, because an it is something, and God is nothing. God is everything, and God is nothing. And so the moment we try to make it an it or a he or a her or a something, then we anthropomorphize God. We put it into a human type of form. We try to physicalize God. We try to make it into something which is tangible for us to feel, sense, hear, know, and feel about. And that's impossible. The Bible doesn't say this, but the Bible teachers say this. What would Jesus say if he was looking over your shoulder and he saw what you were doing? What would Jesus say about what you're doing if he were looking over your shoulder and he saw what you're doing? And you know what I would answer that teacher? I would say to that teacher, Jesus is the Christ. And if the Christ ever looks over my shoulder, the Christ will only be greeted by the Christ. The Christ will only be greeted by that which it is, because it has no capacity to see anything other than itself. And so the Christ, in looking at the world, sees only itself, magnificent, whole, perfect, and beautiful. It has no capacity to see anything that a teacher might say to you. What would Jesus say if he was looking over your shoulder? Well, why are you asking me this, teacher? Are you the Christ looking over my shoulder? If you are, you'd see everything I'm doing is beautiful. And if you're not, then you'd see me according to your human attitude about me, about your human awareness of me. And the teacher would only have to say, swallow hard and say, Entschuldigung, pardon me all too. That was a very poor remark for me to make. You say to a child, you are wonderful, you are beautiful, you are fantastic. You say to a child, you are good. And the child says, but I was just naughty. You say to the child, I only see you good. My child always is good. My child always does everything beautiful. I'm so proud of you. The kid will get frustrated at first because the game of not being good that he was trying to play didn't work. Nobody paid attention to it. He said bad words and nobody paid attention to the bad words. They said, oh, you're learning a new vocabulary, huh? Well, my goodness, let's get some words in there that you can use everywhere and that you can really enjoy, you know. The words you are using were words that have a limited use. They're okay, but they have a limited use. Let's learn some words that have a total use. You can use them everywhere. But, Mom, that's what the boys are saying. Hey, surprise the boys by saying supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And they'll say, well, what does that mean? Well, that's terrible. It's a bad, bad word. It's a bad word, like the kids say about good. You know, when something's really good, it's bad. And the boys will say, oh, it's a bad word? Okay. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And you see, this is the way that Christ did it. As Paul said, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things, speak on these things, say these things. And Jesus says, what wouldst thou of me? What wouldst thou of me? I am the Christ. I can only see you as a glorified, fantastic being, something so super, something so wonderful, something so magnificent. You see, and this is where we are. This is where we are. Christ is the energy, the life force, which permeates me. We hadn't thought of it in that respect before. We thought of life, the life force that God put in us, and of course we're God, but that God put in us, the life force that God put in us, what is that life force? What is that life force? What is that essence of awareness? Life force is awareness. What is the life force? It's the capacity to be and to exist and to have a body. It's the capacity to be the automating force of the robot. This body is sort of like a robot. It's divinely made robot. It's far more divinely made than any robot we have, although we're sophisticating our robots very much. But the divine force is that which automates the body that we have. Now, the body could be a stone. The body could be a mineral. The body could be the air. The body could be an animal, mineral, vegetable. It could be anything. And what is this life force that is in everything? Huh. We think we're so smart. The same life force that's in the atom is in us. And the same life force that's in us is in the atom. You see, this Christ consciousness is in every atom. In every atom that exists is the Christ consciousness. And when we realize that in every atom that exists is the Christ consciousness, then every atom takes on a whole new picture for us. It becomes something very sacred, very wonderful, very, very glorious. Now, what do you think of it? What do you think of the atom? What do you think of this Buddha that Sai Baba likes to fluff off and give to his students who come to visit him? It's the fluff from his skin that is, you know, he must have a good manufacturing fluff plant there. But that's great. But it's the Buddha. Is there energy still in that Buddha? Is his life force still in that Buddha? Just as much as it is in the body that he carries with him. Now look, you die. Monica has left us, and she's left her body behind. Now, what are they going to do with her body? Are they going to cremate it, or bury it, or what are they going to do? I haven't heard from them yet, but whatever they do, it'll be the proper thing. Now, if they cremate it, instantly the body will be returned to dust. And from dust to dust, we are told in the early Bible, man is made. All things are made from dust to dust. So, when we are returned to our dust, and we are returned to our original energy, if you like to say that, but it's a little difficult to understand at that point. But if you, every atom, remember, in that at dust, every atom is the divine. Now, where does it get that power? Does that get that power because God put his hand over it and said, here is power? Or because it already exists? We've been teaching this, that everything exists. Nothing new exists. Every atom changes its form and changes its usefulness and what have you in the human or physical part of life. But it's just energy. And energy is universal in everything. And the same energy that is everywhere is in the atom. And the same energy that's in the atom is everywhere. Now, Monica's done with her atoms. And if she puts them into a coffin and lets them disintegrate over many years, then in many years they'll return to the original atom structure, what they were, and be used for something else. But cremation sort of speeds the process along. And takes less space on Earth for all the bodies lying around. Can you imagine? No, don't try. But we have here so much energy, so much energy. Now, just to play a little game for a second here. A couple days ago, we gave a morning talk for today, Instant Illumination, Absolute Philosopher, based on whistling in the dark. And how sometimes we are frightened in the dark, so we whistle. And it started out basically with people whistling in the graveyard. They'd walk through the graveyard, and the burial grounds had buried within them great people, not so great people, bad people, good people, children, adults, of all natures. And these people had essences or energies that floated up from the grave and met people as they walked through the graveyard, especially at night. In the daytime, you didn't see them. Perhaps it's a good point there. Their energy was more visible at night. Is there perhaps an energy that is still extant around a corpse that hasn't been decayed, and thereby its essence does shine forth and does come up from the grave? Maybe it's not a joke. Maybe it's not as peculiar as we think it is, or peculiar, yes, but not as strange. Well, strange, yes, but anyhow, maybe it is. And who is to say? We're not teaching this aspect of it, but we are teaching the aspect of the energy. And the energy never ceases. Just because the life force, as an ectoplasm, you say, might leave the body, the energy of every atom is still there. And the energy of every atom to be whatever it chooses to be or whatever it's chosen to be is there. Quite interesting, isn't it? Quite interesting. What is it that we're doing with these interesting things? Energy is going to be more and more and more a topic of thought for people, because the Christ consciousness is expressing itself through this energy. And in its perfect energy, in its perfection, remember the story of Einstein? Einstein worked on the atomic bomb, and he was with the committee and so forth, and he was not very happy about it. And he said to himself, I must not promote this. And so he went to President Roosevelt, President of the United States at that time, and he said to President Roosevelt, he said, this bomb is a terrible thing. It will do damage beyond anything we can ever quantify or ever imagine. And I recommend not using it as a bomb. Well, the president was overruled by the Congress and by the rest of the world, who felt that the war had gone far enough and the killing zone had been extended beyond whatever was reasonable. And if anything is reasonable, I don't know. But anyhow, so Einstein, in his genius, in his magical self, had come up with something with his co-workers that was absolutely destructive, a devastating thing. And he wanted to have it not be used for that purpose, but be used for lights and power and other things that was a good for the benefit of humanity. But they used it the other way. And you see, this is how it sometimes gets out of our hands. We each have all the energy of the Christ within us. And if we have the energy of the Christ within us, we want to take that energy and use it in beneficial ways. Jesus could talk to the disciples, and he could train the disciples in being masters. He could train the disciples in being geniuses, in using their energy to accomplish anything they wanted to do. He was training them to listen in, tune in to their Christ consciousness. Well, they thought tuning into their Christ consciousness was raising the dead and curing the sick and doing those things. And of course, Jesus expected them to do those outer things. But they did not do it because... Now, listen to this. This is the most stupid thing any human being could ever say. It is done unto them according to their belief. A belief heals people. A belief raises people. A belief changes the conditions of the world. That's what Jesus said. It is done unto them according to their belief, according to their use mentally of the energy of the universe, according to their Christ consciousness using its energy to perform whatever it chooses to perform. Interesting, huh? But these are the things that we have been taught. You see, the message that Jesus brought as a wonderful teacher and person was kind of exciting. But the message was missed, not because it wasn't given, but because even now, the people were not yet ready to understand it, to realize it, to utilize it, to experience it, and to put it to use in a beneficial way. Many people have come up with many interesting things, such as Leonardo da Vinci drawing a submarine and the helicopter long before there was any way in which it could be utilized. But you see, the ideas are always current in the world. And if Leonardo da Vinci had been a little more modern, he would have drawn his devices a little more modern. But as it was, from whatever he conceived of the capacity to put the things together, that's how he put them together. Steel bolted to steel and so forth, and what have you. But amazing. Amazing consciousness. Amazing. See, he had the idea, the concept, but he didn't have the physical representation of it. Now, if he had gone a little further in his meditations and visualized it as people do today with their inventions, they visualize it as a completed form, absolutely perfect. Then, what do they have to do? They have to go inside the completed form to see what it's like and how it was put together. That Michelangelo, in his doing it, he showed you the outer form with the bolts and the sheets of metal gathered together to make the diving bell, to make the various instruments that he was creating. Yes, fascinating. Christ is the ideal type of who I am. Christ is the ideal type of who I am, of me. Now, how will I ever find out the ideal type of who I am, of me? How will I ever find out about me? How will I ever know who I am? Well, I won't. I won't. When you are studying in how to drive a car, you are very conscious of the car. You're conscious of the rear view mirrors, you're conscious of the gear shifts, you're conscious of the steering wheel, you're conscious of the way the wheel is turned, you're conscious of that big old road out in front of you, and that little tiny slot that they give you to drive down that road, just a little bit, with a few inches over beyond the edge, the full width of your car, and you say, how could it ever be, you know? And you drive, and you practice, and you practice, and you drive. and you have all sorts of trepidation on your driving. But as you drive, and as you experience it, and as you train yourself in driving, pretty soon you don't even look at the road, and you stay in your zone on the road because your consciousness keeps you in that zone. You can turn your head to the side and look out the side for a moment and then turn your head back forward, and you have not turned the car to go to that side because you are a professional. You have trained yourself to keep driving straight ahead. You see, that's a simple analogy that everyone can recognize. Well, this is the same way you train yourself in knowing who you are as the Christ. You train yourself in who you are as the Christ by every single moment of your life speaking your word and telling yourself, I am the Christ. Every single moment of your life, you say of yourself, I can. It is done. It is fulfilled. It is complete. Every single moment of your life, you say, I am whole and perfect. I am happy. I am fulfilled. Every single moment of your life, you speak the positive word of truth about yourself, which is the Christ fulfilled in you. And so it is. However, if you fall away from it, if you turn the car, when you turn your head to look, you run off the road. You cannot afford to be a lack of diligence. You have to pay attention to what you're doing at all times. However, like I said, when you truly train yourself, you can momentarily look to one side, and you will not turn the wheel. Because your consciousness says, this is what I'm doing, and that's what I'm doing, and I can do many, many things. I can talk to people in the back seat, in the front seat, and I can talk to people out the window. I can see the people walking down the street, and I can see children riding on their bicycles. I can see other cars coming up to the crosswalk where I know I'm going to be passing, and I'm careful that they see me too. Because whether I have the right of way or not, I do not want to have to be dead right, you know. That's not a very profitable thing. So these are things that we train ourselves in. Well, now, in walking our Christ path and finding the Christ within us, it isn't hard to find because it's everywhere. But in letting it be our only picture, our only pattern, the Christ pattern be our only pattern, then what happens? Then we will be able to drive and look to the side and not turn to the side. We will be able to have people say in our presence, it's a terrible day, and we know it's a beautiful day because it's our creation. And we don't fight their saying it's a terrible day. That's not the thing at all. It doesn't mean a thing to us because we have a beautiful day. Now you say, well, that's Christ consciousness? Yes, that's the essence of Christ consciousness. Christ consciousness is knowing that every single thought you have, you see, this is probably one of the problems about Christ consciousness. We chose to come to planet Earth to be a human and be ourselves and have fun. Okay? Now, we can be a bad human and have bad times. Okay? We can be a dumb human and have stupid times. We can be a brilliant human and be an Einstein and have a good time. Now, or we can be divine, and we can be the Christed Jesus. Now, the Christed Jesus is the one which arose from the cross. He left behind all the physical actions of his body. He left behind all of the physicality that he was, and he took on this Christed body, this spiritualized body. You know that. And the spiritualized body was unlimited. And he was able to communicate, he was able to be seen, and he could probably be unseen if he didn't want to, which he was able to do before anyhow, too. So, you see, he was able to do whatever he wanted to do. Now, when we talk about wanting to be Christed and be spiritual and be fantastic in every way, Right away, we want to think it's something, you know, out, far out of our ken, far out of our ability to understand, far out of our ability to perceive its reality, because the spiritual life is so glorious. Well, let's rather think the spiritual life for us living on this dimension, and we are expected to have a spiritual life living on this dimension, is living in our original purity and integrity. And our original purity and integrity is wholeness, happiness, health, right action, peace, abundance, everything that we could ever dream of. We, in this consciousness, in this Christed consciousness, should be able to think our thought instantly and have our thought instantly be revealed. We think our thought that we have a whole body, and our body is whole. We don't need to die. When we're ready to die, let's just disappear. Let's just dissolve. Let's just be gone. And let's be no memory in the mind of anyone who was in our world. They don't even remember that we were there. They don't miss us. We had a great time growing in our spiritual awareness of our Christed consciousness. We had a great time. And as we grew in this spiritual awareness of our Christed consciousness, what happened to us? We were illumined. We were uplifted. We were beatified. Beautified. We were the fulfillment of whatever it is. Just think to yourself. Now, this is an interesting idea. Just think to yourself, what do you think is the most wonderful human being on the face of the earth? What do you think makes up the most wonderful human being on the face of the earth? What constitutes the most wonderful human being on the face of the earth? What makes the most happy, rich, healthy, wealthy, joyous, harmonious, right relationship being on the face of the earth? What makes it up? Well, that stuff. Yeah, that stuff. Healthy, happy, joyous, harmonious, wealthy, neat. See, that makes it up. Now, but you see, here is the point that we will be most hard put to come by. We'll be most hard pressed to come by this one point. We learn to think in quality and not quantity. You see, the moment we live our life qualitative rather than quantitative, we are fulfilled. The moment we live our life realizing that, wow, I feel great. Now, can you feel any greater than that? That's great. And then you say, I don't feel too good. Well, now, that's an attitude, isn't it? That's an attitude. When I was with Monica, working on her as she was going through her experiences, I said, Monica, laugh. Laugh, 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 laugh. And we laughed. And I said, sing. And I said, giggle. And we did. And when I got done, she said, oh, I feel so good. And a few weeks before, we went to visit another one of our students in Switzerland, and Monica came along, and I said, Monica, take a hold of this little old 97-year-old lady and just give her a snuggle huggle and show her what laughter is all about. And Monica grabbed her and held her and hugged her and laughed and laughed. And the little old lady, she laughed and laughed and laughed. And they both were laughing their heads off. And the lady said, I haven't felt my stomach for months. How wonderful to feel alive. Now you see, that's a qualitative thing, isn't it? Not a quantity. That's not a quantity of laughter. They couldn't define in terms of so many decimals of energy were being used there, but it was the quality of joy that sprung right from their heart, right from their soul, right from their Christ itself. And each one that day saw a little bit of their Christ consciousness shining forth. And I saw it very beautifully, very beautifully. And the lady's daughter, Andrea, was sitting beside And she was just giggling in her heart, filled with joy and laughter at what was happening. You see, when the Christ consciousness in us, the quality of the Christ consciousness in us, is radiating, nothing can stop its radiation, and nothing wants to. There should be a better way of saying that. When the Christ consciousness is radiating, all the world is radiating harmoniously with it. All the world. That hospice room that we were in was radiating with that. When I was with Monica, her bedroom was radiating with that. The snow came down, and the sun popped through the clouds. It came right through on top of a big snowdrift that had just blown up on her porch and lit everything like a beautiful, bright light. And it was so glorious to see. I said, "See, Monica, that's for you." And she said, yeah. You know? And this is what we do. This is what we do. Everywhere we go, we let the Christ light shine through. I turned my Christ light on full blast with Monica, with everybody, wherever I go. Wherever I meet people who are having experiences that they want to enjoy or not enjoy or whatever they want to do, I just come in there shining like a silly old clown, you know. I've got a red nose and some hair and so forth I'm going to take with me as I travel around a little bit. But, people will say, like they say to Irene, "Hey, you're supposed to be serious. I'm dying." And Irene says, "That's your business. My business is just to be happy and make you happy." "Well, you're not making me happy." "Oh, you think not? Watch." And within a moment or two, the person's laughing. Within a moment or two, the person has changed their consciousness from the attitude of being sorry for themselves and having out picturing something that isn't their reality to laughing, to being happy, to being joyous, to being fulfilled, to being absolutely great. You see, this is who we are. This is what we are. This is what our life is. Are you ready to join in that game? Are you ready to live in that consciousness? My goodness, I would think so. Christ is the ideal type of who I am, me. The ideal type of who I am, me. Christ is my awareness of myself as God. How do I conceive myself as God? Really? How do I conceive of myself as God? What do I conceive of God as? I don't know, you know? God is all. God is the isness. God is the allness. God is, my goodness sakes, how do you define that? Well, let's not worry about it. Let's not worry about how we define it. Let's just say that I am allness too. Now, if I say to you, what is 2 times 2, you know the answer because you have trained in it. If I say to you, what is XYZ minus PDQ, and you say whatever answer I choose to give it. And I say, yes, that's true. Is that true? Sure it is. That's algebra. You know, that's non-quantitative discussions, and you have to put a number on those things. And so, okay, you say it's 100? Well, now, how did you come up with 100? Well, now that's tough. I have to go backwards now and figure out how to divide up that 100 so that when I use it in there, it's going to come up like that. Now, did I have any multiplication in there? Did I have any division in there? Did I have any subtraction in there? Did I have any addition in there? And you see, going back and finding out why 100 is 100 and why we arrive at 100 when we only had 3 there. Well, each is a third, right? That's not too hard, is it? Mm-hmm. Or one is a half, and the others are a quarter. Or any other definition or definitive thing. But you see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you got the answer. It only matters that your answer is what you want. We took this little lady, and we giggled her. And she giggled. For months she had been lying on her bed, rather quiescent, and When Monica came in and hugged her, and Monica was her spiritual light, she blossomed like a beautiful being, glorified like a beautiful being. She had attended many of our seminars up in Wasserfall and so forth, and just a fabulous lady, as she was in her 70s, 80s, and 90s. Fabulous lady. And now we had a chance to give back to her some of the fabulous qualities that she gave to us over those many years. Now, what about you? What about me? We say here, Christ is my awareness of myself as God. Think about that. Christ, the Christ consciousness, is my awareness of myself as God. Now, the Christ consciousness is living now, here, on this planet, and this earth. It's not when we die. It's not when we move on to the next dimension. It's not something apart from where we are right now. It is right now. It is right in this thing. It is right in what we're doing right now. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So, our Christ self is our self that lives in the now and is enjoying the now, being the now, fulfilling itself in the now, and doing everything wonderful in the now. Does that make any sense? That's what it's all about. And that's what we want to do. So we want to get away from having God, Christ, spiritual things be something so obtuse, so abstract, that it takes a genius to think about it, not much less to understand it. Interesting, isn't it? What is a human being? A human being is a being who can conceive of abstract things. Interesting, isn't it? A human being is a being that can conceive of abstract things, that can understand things that are beyond whatever the physical world provides. And this is what the world is now. Can you imagine the people who designed the chip for memory, where you can put a trigabyte? Yeah, it's better than a gigabyte, better than a billion, zillion, my goodness. A trigabyte of information on one little chip, and that chip can be read, can be understood, my goodness, what all could it include? What all could it include? Now think of it. The mind to conceive of such a possibility is itself very glorious. Now the mind that conceives of the possibility, what is the probability that the possibility could be made real, you know? What is the probability that possibility could be put into a form that could be used? Well, now, that is very unimportant. That's very unimportant. Because people are figuring out ways to mess up that disk, that chip, of one trigabyte of information, and get on there and make it dance and sing and do all sorts of things that it's not supposed to do. Now, what a creative imagination it takes to dream up such a silly thing. Now, it's not evil, but it is perhaps uncomfortable for the people who are trying to use it for something else. But just imagine, this is a terrible thing to say, wars bring out the latest equipment, the latest engines, the latest firepower, the latest electronical, the latest surveillance instrument, the latest of everything. Without wars, the minds of men seemed not driven to be creative. Now that I call yesterday's thinking. Today, they are. Today, all the nations of the world are being driven to creative thinking. And that's beautiful, because with the computer age, we have opened up a Pandora's box full of magic and wonder that Pandora never dreamed about with all of her snakes in there, you know. And all of those snakes have turned out to be wonderful, beautiful things of benefit. I believe we shall take the word Pandora and make out of it a blessing rather than a curse in this coming generation of things. Because it is such a, it's unexplainable, it's unexpected, it's unrevealed, it's opening and finding, wow! And of course, the snakes are kind of tough, wow, but it should be a wow with all the magic of ideas that are popping up. The Christ consciousness is really blooming forth. And this is what the Christ consciousness is. The Christ consciousness is the consciousness of the infinite divinity within us, revealing itself through us right now as us. And that's what God really is. God really is the divinity in us, through us, as us, revealing itself through us right now. That's what it is. And it is so wonderfully exciting, so beautifully fulfilling, and so rewarding in every way, you know? Christ is my awareness of myself as God. Pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. Christ is my awareness of myself as God. Christ is my awareness of myself as all that I am and all that I ever will be. And that's pretty wonderful, isn't it? Christ arises in us. Who and what do we call Christ? We've had our introduction now into our Easter seminar. And thank you, Monica, for your contribution. And thank you, all of you, for being here at the groundbreaking element of Christ Arises in Us. Lecture 2 will begin, and we will have it entitled, Christ is in Me, and How Do I Let the Christ Out? So when we return, we will go on with Lecture 2, Christ is in Me, How Do I Let the Christ Out? I love you. I love you. I love you.